This is a Locker Room Production.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Michael the Hebrew Hammer Brown. Welcome to the Dream Shakes, the Dream Take podcast, the number one podcast for SB Nation's The Dream Shake. We are doing something very, very fun here at the Dream Take. We are having our first ever fan forum. And that basically means that we have published as much as we can today, yesterday, to all of our incredible followers through the Dream Shake and the Dream Take on Twitter. We've posted on Facebook. We are inviting all of our fans to come join this show. And let's talk about everything Houston Rockets, okay? And this is a time, in the infamous words of our co-pilot here at the Dream Take, Mr. Jeremy Brenner, the real Rockets season begins now. And it's so funny because, and if you're not joining us here live, you know, here on Wednesday doing the fan forum, make sure you can tweet me at BS_MB to talk about all things Houston Rockets offseason. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm watching the offseason, or excuse me, I am watching the playoffs just like everybody else. And it's sad. Like, it's upsetting. And it looks like Jake just joined the room, so I'm sure Jake will hop on and would love to talk about all things Houston Rockets here shortly. But I get this weird feeling of not watching the Rockets in the playoffs. Like, it's sad. Like, if you're a Rockets fan, this is the first year in, what, 8 or 9 years that the Rockets have not been a part of the playoffs. And it's like, what, we're just sitting at home and doing what? Like, we're just sitting here just watching the games. We're watching James Harden take a 2-0 lead on I don't even remember who the Nets are playing. They're playing the Boston Celtics, I believe. And they're up 2-0. And it looks like the James Harden-led, Nets are going to move out of the first round. The Boston Celtics with P.J. Tucker are going to move out of the first round. It's just so damn sad. The fact that the Rockets fans are just sitting at home in the offseason because of the year that we had. This was the most depressing season I have ever been a part of as an adult, as a Houston Rockets fan. I'm sure that there's, you know, back when the Rockets were tanking for Yao, we had some bad years. But there's a lot to unwrap here on the fan forum. To talk about, right? And we want you guys to be as a part of the show as you guys would like to be. So Jake's in the room now. Jake, as always, if you'd like to talk about anything, go ahead and hop in. But always good to have you be a part of the show. First things first, let's take a look at what the Rockets have on the books for next year. You start at the top with John Wall, who's making $44.3 million next season. Which, if he gets paid $44 million next season, we'll probably pay him around $1 million a game that he's actually going to play if he's a Rocket. There's a lot of speculation on what the Rockets are going to do with John Wall. If they draft Cade Cunningham, there's a really good chance that John Wall is either going to be bought out or he's going to be traded. As I've talked about on previous shows before, a very likely spot for me to see John Wall end up is in LA. I think, especially if the Clippers are down 2-0 to the Dallas Mavericks. So if the Clippers flame out and go out in the first round, you can expect major sweeping changes in the Los Angeles Clippers organization. You know that Steve Ballmer, their owner, is not going to take losing in the first round lightly. So you can expect major sweeping changes there. Also the Los Angeles Lakers, who are in a tough matchup with the Phoenix Suns. That series is tied at one game apiece. Depending on you know, how they end up this postseason. I still don't think the Lakers are going to make the Western Conference Finals. I'm adamant about that. So you could see, you know, big changes in LA to try and give LeBron and AD, you know, some more help, because everyone knows they don't have enough of that. So you move on to Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon he's got next year, and he's got two more years on an escalating contract. He's making $18.2 million next season, $19.6 million the year after, and then $20.9 million in 23-24. Does Eric Gordon want to be a part of a major rebuild here in Houston? Whether he wants to be or whether he doesn't want to be is a huge question. But now we've got, I wish to say the Thunder from Down Under, but you're not in Australia, Jay.
No.
I need to come up with a nickname for you, sir.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not from Australia, so that's out of the question. You have one for the UK, maybe?
Want to introduce you as Thunder from Down Under. Like, I feel like we're the only podcast that has, like, a correspondent from overseas that is a frequent part of the show. So that could be – you're a foreign correspondent.
I'm the UK correspondent for Houston Rockets.
There you go. Are you depressed like I am? Like, watching all these great playoff games? I'm like, yeah, congrats. Like, you're in the playoffs. James Harden's killing it because shocker, right? Yeah. But like, what do you feel like watching these NBA playoff games?
It's been it's a weird how things have worked out, because the last game that Houston had this season, the next day was my first day back at work, right? So yep. I've had the normality of life come back all of a sudden, and knowing that Houston are not playing, like all the sports I watch at the moment are currently off season, and I'm just working, and there's no game to look forward to. And then I look on my app and I see, you know, all these playoff games, and when I play them, I'm just depressed to not see him play, especially around this time. And like you said, seeing James Harden and PJ, you know, play the way they have always played for Houston, it is a little depressing. I'm not gonna lie to you, but yeah, it's just weird how it all lined up. Like, I was spending, like, as you know, like, early hours in the morning watching all these crappy games from this last season. And, you just hope for better, and to not be in a situation where we were just sitting watching other teams be in the playoffs.
Oh, for sure. And as we've got some more people filing into the room now. If you guys would like to discuss the first ever Houston Rockets fan forum here at the Dream Take, hit the request to speak button. We'll bring you up. This offseason has the capability of being a home run for the Rockets, or it could flame out. I could see it flaming out. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, I feel like if we don't hit this right, this is going to be a 5 to 7 year rebuild instead of a two to three year rebuild.
Like, there's a lot of pressure, but I don't think I think Rafael Stone's kind of like not helping that by promising a lot and saying a lot. Like, if it does fall apart, like, that's, you know,
he talks to
that's not going
to
help.
He does. And so does Fertitta. Like, Fertitta doesn't help the situation at all, because he can't keep his mouth shut. You know what I don't care about? I don't care about you going on MSNBC and talking about, you know, the state of the restaurant business or the state of the casino business. I don't care. I just don't care. Because ever since you have taken over as owner, and I know we talk a lot about Fertitta on this show. I get it. But he's a major problem. He's a major part of this organization until he proves otherwise. Because you can talk about all the guys we want to get in free agency. You can talk about John Collins, but the fan base can talk about John Collins. They can talk about Lonzo Ball. They can talk about re-signing Kelly Olynyk. But I ask you this, since James Harden was traded, so it's been an entire season, right? Basically since he's been traded. He has done nothing to show the fan base that he's willing to spend any money. He traded James Harden, he acquired assets, and now all of those assets are either not on the team yet or they're gone in free agency.
Yeah.
And Taco J has a great point and says traded James Harden for scraps. Taco J, if you would like to come on the show and give us that fan point of view, you come on right ahead. All right, there's a 12% chance I will mail you a fruit basket if you come on and destroy this trade as much as I have. But do you believe, like, do you honestly believe that, like, we're talking to the fan base, right? I'm talking to you, Jake Mountford. Do you believe that Tillman Fertitta will spend legitimate money on this roster this offseason to improve the roster and get us back to relevancy next season?
I mean, I'm leaning towards no, just because we know what he's like. And they always say, like, Rafael Stone's always said, oh, he doesn't like losing, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, like, but it's just this season has proved there's been so many times we've needed certain players. And, like you said, for most of the season, we've needed a long time in that season. There's been so many situations, especially when we released Cousins, where Wood just can't guard centers. He just can't do it. When they just boss him around, and we said we need a big, we need someone to guard that point, and it hasn't been. Nothing's happened the whole season, nope. And then we had the forced trade of Oladipo, which we was forced into making because Miami just kind of sat there and waited for us to the point where we had to make that move. And, you know, fair enough, Kelly Olynyk has, you know, done pretty well for us, but there was no guarantee that was going to happen. It's all thinking.
We're now outside of the season, and I've had some time to digest this. And this might not be a fair point, and it may be really critical to Kelly Olynyk, which is whatever because he's not a member of the organization anymore. Like, who cares what he did? Mm. And I say this to bring up this point. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, congrats. He had a great year. He put up great statistics. Great. Awesome. What did it amount to?
It's for a nothing season. Yeah,
correct. Exactly, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like the years that Kevin Martin was a Rocket, where we were average, but it never led to anything. Yeah. You know, do you honestly believe if they bring back Kelly Olynyk that he's going to be a vital part to the team when the team is good again? Maybe. I don't know. It depends on how long you sign him for. Because I think he's going to get paid. People have come to me on Twitter at @BSWPodcast_MB. Would I sign him to a 2-year, $25 million contract? I would do that deal.
Mm.
I don't know if I would give him 4 years, $50 million. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think if you – I don't even know if I would do that deal. Tillman Fertitta sure as hell is not doing that deal because there's no upside to him. No. If you sign James Harden to a massive contract because he's one of the best players in the league and he was taking you to Western Conference Finals and he was taking you to the playoffs every year, you can justify that contract. If you sign Kelly Olynyk to a 4-year, $50 million contract, I don't know if you can justify that deal, Jake. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
No, I think if – it depends. I know we say this a lot, but a lot of this draft depends on if we re-sign him or not. And I think if the draft doesn't go our way in terms of lottery picks, he's a good person just to have around to keep us somewhat competitive in the games, because he is a good scorer, because he has, you know, a lot of aspects to his game that help the guys around him, like the young guys. So if this year is not the year that Tillman decides that he wants to, you know, push salary towards and the picks are not as good as we hoped, you know, having someone like Kelly around is not the worst thing in the world. And so that 2-year deal, that probably works out pretty well, you know, if that's what happens.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's an interesting – and we're going just player for player here, who's going to be on the team next year. We've covered John Wall. We've covered Eric Gordon. Christian Wood will be a part of the team next year. I feel like Christian Wood has a lot to prove to me next year. I feel like he has a lot to prove to the fan base, because if you look at some of the comments that he made, he talks an awful lot for a guy who wants to be a franchise guy and his team just had the worst record in the league by 3 games. I mean, you're running your mouth a little bit, you know, too much for me. I'm a big fan of shut your mouth and go do your job. When you're a team like the Rockets, right? Like, if you're a team like the Lakers, or if you're a team who's done it, right? Like, if you're Kyrie Irving, you can talk the talk because you can walk the walk. You're an NBA champion. Christian Wood, what have you ever done in the league of significance? That's where I'm coming.
Yeah, exactly.
So no, I look at him and I'm like, you know what? Congrats. Like, he's going to be on the team next year. And I'm excited as hell for him. But he's got a lot to prove to me. I mean, what do you – you and I think are on the same page when it comes to the Rockets needing another big, which I think can come via one of the three first-round picks that they have in the draft. However, if they come back next year with this same front court, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah. I think if they didn't learn from the previous season that's what we need, then I would seriously be worried about how they're going to rebuild this team, because they clearly don't know what we actually need. And just kind of, you know, it's just that's what worries me. And that's what I mean with this, like, this past season is we've needed it all, the whole season. We've needed it. And, you know, obviously we've had some G League players, like, you know, I can't remember that guy's name who got injured in the first game from the G League. I can't remember his name, but that was really unfortunate. But it's kind of just, that's why we've had so many players, is because it's just not, a lot of them just not worked out. And it's, we need a set big that's going to do the role of defending the guys that Wood struggles against. And that, to me, is something they haven't provided, and they need to provide it.
So Taco J says that Christian Wood got praised by Giannis. Again, who cares? Like, who? Like, in all honesty, I mean, what has Giannis done? You know, you want to talk about? I mean, what has Giannis done? Congrats, Giannis has done as much in the league, in my opinion, team performance wise, as Christian Wood. Now he's won more individual awards. He's won an MVP. You know, congrats, he's won an MVP. Who cares? I mean, is that a fair criticism, or am I wrong, Jake?
I mean, Harden should have won it the season. Giannis won it anyway. So,
absolutely. Yeah. We're now going live here on Facebook as well. So, if you guys have any questions on Facebook for the first ever fan forum, go ahead and throw them down. We will get them answered here, Jake and I. Anybody who else is listening to the show, if you'd like to come up and talk, you are more than welcome here at the Dream Takes, the first ever fan forum. Looking at, you know, some other players on the roster moving forward, you look at a guy like, let me see here, Avery Bradley will not be on the team next year, thank God. DJ Augustine, I think, is going to be on the team next year, and I think he's going to be fantastic next year. I think he's the perfect, I think he's the perfect guy to be the backup point guard on this team.
Yeah, especially during like the later part of the season, I really liked what he was offering the team. He was like just kind of being with the other players, and he was a really nice part of the team. And we looked better when he was on, definitely.
Yeah, you know. So we will see. It depends. Tobias White says, I like the idea of bringing Kelly back as an offensive veteran center. Then you draft or sign a defensive stockier 4 or 5 that can guard bigger players and space the floor. Don't hate it. I don't hate that at all. The problem is Kelly Olynyk is not a 5. Like, Kelly Olynyk is not a center. And I don't agree with – I've never agreed with the very talented Jeremy Brenner, who I do the Dream Take with, that Kelly – he thinks that we live in this era of you don't specify – positions on the court. I don't agree with that at all. Like, I think you need to have a traditional center. I think you need to have a traditional 4. I think you need to have your wings, and I think the guard position, I think you can be positionless. But I think if you're going, you need, that's why small ball doesn't work. Like, for as much as small ball gets the praise around the NBA, when the hell has small ball ever worked? Seriously. It's a very serious question. Phoenix never went to an NBA Finals with it. The Rockets never went to an NBA Finals with it. I guess you could say that the Detroit Pistons won with small ball, but Ben Wallace was a legitimate center. Like, he wasn't a guy who was a power forward, right? We're on the same page there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like I look at that and I say small ball has never worked. They need to get a traditional center. Like, you know who would have been a perfect guy for this team last year is Nerlens Noel. That's the type of guy the Rockets.
Yeah. You know? He's been great for the Knicks, man.
And like the biggest thing I look at across the league right now is the Rockets. All these things that we're talking about the Rockets need in this offseason, they had less than 2 years ago. You know? They had Clint Capella. Clint Capella is the perfect big. If I could pick the perfect big to put next to Christian Wood, it's Clint Capella, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And Taco J comes in and says, I wouldn't necessarily rush Wood. Some seniors in college are just coming into the league at 24. He's 25, late bloomer, as is I'm sure he's keep grinding. He's only going to flourish in Houston. I mean, I guess you're right.
But either
you have it or you don't. With his intangibles, it's not about flourishing or it's not about grinding and getting better. Like, this is a guy who's a 20-10 guy. His biggest problem is staying on the court. And I'm not sold on, number one, I'm not sold on him as the guy. Number two, I'm not sold on Kevin Porter Jr. as the guy. I know that may be hot take. Oh my God. People comparing him to James Harden need to stop because he's not James Harden.
Just because he's left-handed.
Except that he's left-handed. And, you know, they have the same skin color. Like, that's about it. Like, the pelts on the wall that James Harden had. And I'll take you back to earlier this year when the entire sports media world lost their mind on Steph Curry and how many games in a row that he put up 30 points. I think it was like 15 games or something. You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember when James Harden did it for 30-plus games and people want to, like, just completely forget that? Remember that?
That was what I think was most frustrating about that is it was impressive by Curry, but, like, Harden doubled that. And it was just, like, no one talks about that now. But, you know,
because it's James Harden.
Completely forgotten about.
The script flipped once he went to Brooklyn. Like, it's embarrassing how these national guys just don't listen. And we're bringing up Tobias White, who would like to speak here with our foreign correspondent, Jake Mountford, and myself. Tobias, welcome. Happy Wednesday night. What would you like to have discussed on the show, Ty?
Well, I just really had a point about the whole Christian Wood thing. I remember you guys talking about that.
Yes, sir.
So, like, my idea, like, when I look at, like, the NBA, at least how it's presented today, I think the idea of a traditional center is kind of nicer than, like, what it really is. I think more importantly than just, like, having that is, like, rim protection. I feel like that's, like, the most important thing in terms of, like, what we need from that position. And when healthy, I believe Christian Wood could, like, provide that. And then, like, when you look at, like, certain lineups around the NBA, like, specifically, like, when I go and look at, like, the Lakers and stuff like that, you see, like, some of the best lineups in the NBA, or, like, when you get, like, an athletic switchy five, like Anthony Davis at the five for the Lakers, those lineups tend to be the lineups that work the best in the NBA. And it's nice to have, like, that bigger center to guard post players, but I just don't believe that's, like, something you need, like, full-time, per se.
Yeah, and I'd like for you to stay on the show because, I mean, that's a great point. And I love – here's the thing. Your example that you just brought up, you also have to factor in the fact that they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis that can cover positions 1 through 5. The Rockets don't have that. Like, the Rockets are weak on the wing as a whole. Like, you have Jayshon Tate, who should have been in the Rookie of the Year conversation, but he wasn't. But what else do you have on the wing? You're weak there. You're weak at the guard position as a whole. I like Kevin Porter Jr. I love what a full season would look like with him. But we didn't even make it through a full season, and he can't stay out of trouble. That's worrisome. You know, the whole strip club incident in Miami. He still has a lot to grow. You know, he's got to grow into his body. He has a lot of things to do there. That's why I'm so adamant they need to bring in a anchor in the middle because they're not great as a team defensively yet. So you need somebody that's got some girth in the middle. That's why I'm so adamant about it. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, it's so difficult, especially because, like, with Wood, he was just like on and off the court so much. It's so frustrating to know that there was a lot of time he could have played where we could see more of him, and we would have known more of this conversation. Like, we would have known more about Woods at this point, and we made a more informed decision about if this is the guy or not. But because we hardly saw him this season, it's like, it's so difficult to make that you know, what he can be and what, you know, what we've currently seen him as is someone who's just off the court a lot and, you know, says a lot. It's tough to see, like, what could have happened this season in terms of his playtime.
And I agree. And look, Tobias, here's his stats from the year, right? He only played in 41 games. He averaged 32.3 minutes per game. That's worrisome as well. If you're going to be a franchise guy, you've got to play. He's got to get that up, I would say, to 36 minutes next year. He doesn't have far to go, but he still has to get his minutes per game up. His other problem is he only averaged 9.6 rebounds per game. He's got to get, if he's going to be an anchor in the middle, he's got to average at least 12 rebounds. I would say 10.5 to 12.5 rebounds, somewhere in that number, in order for him to be considered an anchor in the middle. Would you agree?
Yeah, for sure. That definitely. For sure, definitely.
So you look at, and his Christian Woods, his style of play, he prefers to not be a back-to-the-basket sort of player. Nothing wrong with that, but if he's going to play 25 feet away from the basket offensively, the Rockets this past year were missing that back-to-the-basket presence, right? They didn't run enough plays with Christian Wood having his back to the basket. And what teams were doing were, you can focus solely on the perimeter. That's why they didn't shoot great the entire year, is because not enough did you have a guy. Jayshon Tate, if you watch every single game like I do, you notice Jayshon Tate going to the basket was deadly, correct?
Right. Yes.
Like, he didn't post up enough because they didn't have a post-up presence. That's why they need to get a threat near the basket. A JaVale McGee is what I'm looking for. A Nerlens Noel. Cheap, effective, near the basket to open up the perimeter for Kevin Porter Jr. and hopefully Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, I mean, like, you see a lot of it, like, the past season is the amount of zone defenses were thrown at us because we just did not make our shots on the perimeter.
Great
and
point.
Just being able to throw it to someone to back to the basketball and be able to just, you know, get that, just get some points to get a zone buster is something we really lacked this season. And as I said earlier, like, the fact, the amount of teams that were throwing zones at us and we couldn't do nothing about it, and we got on that cold stretch, you know, in the third quarter where we'd usually do. And it was just, that killed most of the games because we couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you this, Tobias. What do you feel like is the number one need this offseason for the Rockets outside of the draft? Because the draft, it's pretty clear. Get the number one pick, draft Cade Cunningham. So this is a two-part question for you. Number one, if they get the second overall pick in the draft, who are you taking? And the other part is, what do you feel like is the number one need for this roster going into next season?
All right, so honestly, when you look at the roster as a whole, I mean, I there's a lot of, like, talented pieces, but just, like, as a team, we just let go of, like, our main superstar, you know what I'm saying? We traded away a lot of our veterans. We need a lot of talent. Like, we're in talent accumulation mode. So, for me, it's more so just going to the draft with, like, the mindset that you want to try to take the best player available with, like, every selection that you have. You could say, I mean, like, and, like, the good thing about it is that, like, our team, we have a lot of flexibility in terms of, like, the moves that we're able to make. So, like, we really need everything. Like, we're a team. We were the worst team in the league. So, we need rim protection. We need defense. We need shot creation. We need help in a lot of areas. So, like, personally, when I look at, like, the number two pick, I see, like, personally, like, at least on my board, I have Jalen Green, number two,
over
a guy like Evan Mobley and a guy like Jalen Suggs. And honestly, I know that, like, might be a little bit of a hot take, but, like, why I choose that when I look at that is because, like, the most valuable skills in the NBA is shot creation and then shot creation for others. So, firstly, it's shot creation for yourself and shot creation for others. And when you look at our team this past year, we didn't have much shot creation at all. Now, when you look – and, like, because my thing is, a lot of people, they value Evan Mobley. They value Jalen Suggs. And honestly – if we got the top four, if we got a top four pick, I would be happy just with having the pick in general, like as a Rockets fan. And all four of the prospects are great to me personally. It's just that I look more so at like fit and in terms of long-term impact and what I feel like they would bring to the team. And when I look at that, I see Evan Mobley. I see a lot of his characteristics match, or at least his strengths and weaknesses. A lot of those match Christian Wood's. Now, his defensive impact is a lot higher. His ceiling is a lot higher. But offensively, he's not really a great shooter. He's not a great spacer. He's decent in the post, but if you look at his percentages and stats, it wasn't like he was an overly efficient post player. So it isn't like he's adding like another dimension that we would wish to use. He's just another longer body that's great defensively. And I honestly don't see the long-term upside that a lot of people see with him. And then with Jalen Suggs, I see a playmaking guard, somebody who can run an offense, somebody that can score, that can heat up in bunches and stuff like that. And I like the idea of him, but like it's kind of the same thing with me, like his skills. When I look at our team, I feel like the Jalen Suggs pick is more like, so like, how do you feel about Kevin Porter Jr.? Because me personally, I see Kevin Porter as somebody who can be a primary playmaker in the future. And then if you pair that with somebody like Jalen Green, who's a pure bucket, who can create his own shot, who can explode, I see a duo that in the future could average 50 points per game. And then you add that with Christian Wood, you add that with KJ Martin and Jayshon Tate and defensive 3-and-D players and with certain pieces. And we have an identity, an extremely fast, super athletic team that can score in bunches, get out in transition, and really pressure players on the ball.
Woo! Okay, a lot to unpack there. First of all, did you say that we have a talented roster?
I say we have talented pieces. We are very, like, talented.
Okay.
Efficient.
Okay. I want to make sure, Jake, I don't know about you. I thought I heard, Tobias, I feel like we're quickly becoming family here. And I feel like you said talented roster. I was going to have to call you out on that. But, okay. I just want to make sure I didn't hear that wrong. Here's the thing. Like, Mobley is Clint Capella with more offensive game. He's exactly what this team needs. You don't feel like drafting Jalen Green would mess up the Cade Cunningham is going to mess with the ceiling of Kevin Porter Jr. I feel like already. But he's so talented, you have to take him. Mobley is the one guy that gives you something that you simply don't have right now, which is a rim protector. Would it be a sexy pick? No. But it fills a pretty damn big need. And the guy is a stud. That's why I want Evan Mobley. I like Jalen Green. I think Jalen Green, what did you call him? A walking bucket? Is that what you call them?
100%.
Okay, walking bucket. That might be the greatest nickname I've ever heard not used for a guy in the NBA is walking bucket. So I'm here for all of that. Let me ask you, Jake, and then Tobias, I want you to answer this question. Is Steven Silas the right guy for this job?
Yeah, I think so. I think a good way to back up that point is just how the team rallied with him near the end of the season when it was looking pretty bleak in terms of the players we play in. And every game, pretty much, like, you know, give or take one, was pretty close with a lot of contending teams. And a lot of the players on there were G League players, and they were fighting for Silas to, you know, have a, you know, they're playing for playing time next year, they're playing for contracts next year. There's a lot of players that played for Silas, and I think he's the right guy because I do think that he can, you know, get the morale for a team high and rally them and, you know, get them in the right direction.
Okay. Tobias, what about you?
100%. I feel like for like the second half of the season, dude was playing with like the Houston Vipers. And then like you've seen how like in certain points throughout the season, like doing a 6-game winning streak, how like, because the two things you really need to see from a coach is firstly, like how did like the players respond to him? And you could tell that they were motivated throughout the season. And then also a very good like indicator of whether or not a coach is a good coach is defense. And you could see at certain points throughout the season, whenever he could get like them locked in and they would buy in and stuff like that. And he had the pieces he needed that we were very, very locked in and decent defense. And winning any games with the Houston Vipers is a feat by itself.
Look, I forgot how much I missed playoff basketball. It's depressing, Tobias. right? I don't want to tune into TNT and see James Harden smiling and dapping up his teammates, because that should be us, okay? That should be us. It's just depressing. It's just sad. But look, this is the fan forum. This is the land of opportunity, if you would like to talk anything about Rockets basketball. Look, this team can be good next year, right? This team, if they have the offseason done correctly, they can be a winner next year. But let me ask you both this. Do you believe that – let me see how I want to phrase this. This season sucked. Can y'all make it through another season? Like, if this team is this bad next year, are you still going to be fans? Or are you just going to turn it off and you're like, look, this isn't worth it? Because I feel like if they get the number one pick and they get some talent, like, this team could be a playoff team next year. Like, am I crazy? I guess that's the better question. If they get the number one pick and they draft Cade Cunningham, let's say they re-sign Kelly Olynyk, make a couple other nice signings. Like, do you believe in this team to be a playoff team next year with the pieces that they have in place, being Jayshon Tate, KJ Martin, Christian Wood, DJ Augustine, if they bring back Armoni Brooks? Like, do you guys believe this is a playoff team as early as next year? We'll start with you, Tobias, and then to you, Jake.
I mean, personally, yeah. I mean, like, I'm biased, but, like, I feel
like
a lot of people...
This is the land to be biased, okay? Be biased, but also, you know, relatively honest.
Well, personally, I just feel like a lot of people outside of, like, the Rocket circles and stuff really didn't pay too much attention to, like, what was happening with the Rockets, because we really didn't have much, if any, continuity this season. And as you've seen, we broke the record for, like, most players played this season. Like, we didn't have any help at all, and it was pretty terrible. I feel like minus the number one pick with a little bit of, like, minus, like, a top four pick with a little bit of progression and help, I believe we could be in that play-in scenario. So with the number one pick or a top four pick, I most definitely believe we could be back in the playoffs.
Jake?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think, like, if any fan got through this season, watched, you know, 95% of the games, I think any improvement is going to help you watch them. And I do believe that, you know, top if you get the top pick, playoffs definitely. And, you know, like I do think play-in is probably our target next year. And I don't think that's a bad thing. As long as we're in the playoffs or, you know, in the play-in, any improvement from last year, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah, I think, and we're going to get into, you know, Mike Brown's 10-step off-season plan in the next couple shows. This is more of just, I wanted to get a feel for where the fan base is as a whole, right? Like, it's so easy to look at this season and say, oh, we're the worst team in the league. People forget about how much talent this team was not playing on a nightly basis, right? John Wall wasn't playing most nights. Eric Gordon was not playing. Sterling Brown was not playing. People forget that David Nwaba was on this team, right? Christian Wood was absent most nights. If those players played this year, this was a 6-8 seed. And it sucks because that it happened this year, because there's not one team in the West that scares me. Like, there's no team in the playoffs this year that I look at and I'm like, Utah? Like, you think Utah lost their first game? Like, who has been? Dallas has been the most impressive team. Luka's great. Yes. Porzingis is great. Like, the other players on that team are great, but the Clippers are down. Denver was without Jamal Murray. Memphis is eh. Like, if the Rockets were healthy, they were just as good as any team outside of the Lakers, Phoenix, or the Utah Jazz. Am I crazy? Or do y'all think the same way?
Do you know what's most frustrating about the playoffs this year? If there's any year that you know, a team, well, yeah, and that any year that Houston would have had Harden and like Chris Paul or something like that, this year they totally could have won it all this year, because there's so many like teams that are struggling through injuries this season. Or like, you look at the Lakers at the moment, like before the playoffs, they were really struggling. And you look at most of the teams that are favourites, like Clippers are down 2-0. Like, I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought it'd be a good series between them and the Mavs, but I definitely wouldn't see them being 2-0 down. And, you know, teams get desperate, and Houston, they could have done something this year if the players stayed, but they're not. And that's the situation.
I mean, I would love to add a guy, Tobias. Like, who am I thinking of? I mean, that, like, Dallas, here's a guy I want both of your opinions on, is Tim Hardaway Jr. Tim Hardaway Jr. would be the perfect guy to add to this roster. Like, Tobias, yeah. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I feel like he's a stud. His skill set fits for sure.
It fits everywhere. Like, but you know what I'm talking, like, those are the type of guys that the Rockets, like, Armani Brooks is like the Diet Coke version of Tim Hardaway Jr. You know? Like, it's not the Coca-Cola that, you know, the McDonald's Coca-Cola that we all love. That we all know that they do something extra to that Coke at McDonald's. Like, he's the watered-down version of that. Like, he's a good player. I think Armani Brooks is only going to get better. But his problem is he's not a top-flight type of guy like Tim Hardaway Jr. is. But Tim Hardaway Jr., you add him to this team, you've got something, I think. And you reunite him with Steven Silas, there's a fit there. Like, think about this, Tobias and Jake. Let me paint you a picture, right? Let's say the Rockets end up with the second overall pick, right? Let's just use that as an example. Let's say they draft Evan Mobley, center out of USC. You're starting five next year. Let's say you find a way to offload John Wall's contract. Your starting five could be, and let's say you sign Tim Hardaway Jr. Your starting five could be Kevin Porter Jr., Tim Hardaway Jr., a lot of juniors, Jae'Sean Tate, Christian Wood, and Evan Mobley. That's incredibly obtainable, if you think about it.
That is.
Like, Tobias, would you be excited about that team, and do you think that would be a playoff team?
Yeah, that's a playoff team. I mean, I feel like, I mean, if Kevin Porter Jr. improves defensively, that'd be like a pretty great two-way lineup, honestly.
And you're building depth, right? You're putting in a guy, like you have a guy in KJ Martin Jr. who could come off of your bench. You'd have, for the time being, a guy like Eric Gordon who thrives in that sixth-man role. Let's say you keep DJ Wilson. I think DJ Wilson showed enough to be retained next year. A 6'9 guy who can shoot from the outside, shuts his mouth, and does whatever his coaching staff asks him to do. I'm in for that. You know, so there's eight guys right there. You add in DJ Augustine. Like, that's a nice team. The thing that I think fans need to get over is if you bring in Cade Cunningham, you're bringing in a huge talent. I agree. But the capability of – the question is, does he mesh with a guy like KPJ? I don't know how to answer that question. I think he'll fit because they're both young enough that they can adapt. But KPJ is a guy – who needs the ball in his hands to be successful right now. Cade Cunningham, not so much. You really think Cade Cunningham is going to come to this team and agree to be the second option? And then you talk about a guy like Christian Wood, who needs his touches as well? There's only one basketball. Cade Cunningham going to the Rockets brings up a lot of questions that I don't know how quickly they're going to be answered.
To quote Raymond, who, you know, obviously is a big part of this show. He said he almost doesn't want to land on the first pick because he doesn't want to take away from Porter Jr. because he will, like you said, that's just going to happen. It's something they're going to have to get, you know, they have to deal with. And so almost get, like, even though obviously we take Cade first pick, you almost like feel like Houston would be in a better situation to have more choice in the second or the third or the fourth. And it's, you know, it's, that's why any top four pick, I think, for Houston is a great thing, because that's just talent that we need. And being able to pick between second and fourth, I think, would benefit Kevin Porter Jr., even though I still would take Cade at first, obviously.
Yeah, honestly, I think this conversation terrifies me a lot, like whenever it's get brought up, because whenever people bring this up, all I think back to is like the past few drafts and like just the history of drafting a center over like the guy that we all know, like the 6'7" wing or the guard that we all know is going to be amazing. You know, like when we did, like when DeAndre Ayton or with Marvin Bagley, like we should, Cade has to go number one. I feel like I honestly fear the fit questions too, when it comes to KPJ, at least in the short term, but like we're a young team. You got these guys for like the next few years. I feel like if you find a way to move John Wall at some point in the next few years and you get rid of Eric Gordon, that open up space in the guard rotation. And then you just put them two guys on the floor And just like with James Harden or Chris Paul, with two guys who are ball dominant playmakers, and just like, you know what I'm saying, with those type of players, you just put them on the floor and let them work it out, and they'll figure it out.
It's a great point. One of the final points that I have and I want to bring up is the Rockets have to – how many times this year do we watch games and they just get destroyed on the interior? You know, you look at the Western Conference and you're going to have to deal with Jokic, and you got to deal with Towns, and you've got to deal with Rudy Gobert. And you got to, now you're going to have to deal with James Wiseman. You got to deal with Anthony Davis and Drummond now with the Lakers. You're going to have to deal with DeAndre Ayton. You've got Kristaps Porzingis. You've got Jonas Valanciunas with the Grizzlies. Like, there's too many big guys in the West. You have to get a center, like a legitimate big man. You can't go into next season with Christian Wood as your sole big man. You just can't do it. It's not possible. So that's why I'm adamant on adding some sort of big. I guess the last big question that I have, you know, for you guys is, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, I mean, how confident are you in the front office's ability to rebuild this roster? I will give it a two-year window. So 2 years from today, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in Rafael Stone, Tillman Fertitta, and the front office to build this team into a contender again? Now, again, we'll start with you, Jake, and we'll go then to you, Tobias.
It's there in front of them what, you know, they can do with it, and we, you know, the fact that we're talking about what we think what we think this team needs and what they do need, surely they know that. Surely that's what they're thinking. Surely there's a plan ahead, and Tillman has said he will back this team, which is what we all hope. I'd say, like, I'm in the middle. I'd say a 5. I think, you know, it could go either way. I think it is the hope that kills you. So my like excitement, I think I've like lowered it a bit, just to, like, you know, in case it doesn't work out, and I'm just gonna not, you know, be overly disappointed. But yeah, I give it a 5. I say I'm in the middle.
Tobias.
Contender is tough. Like a true and blue contender, I'm not really sure on that. I know in terms of like being a good team in the next 2 years, I'm honestly more optimistic on the team, because I honestly see a lot of development incoming, at least in like the next year. I can see, like, because if you look at this past year, Kevin Porter Jr., this was literally like his first time in his entire life playing point guard, and it was at the NBA level, you know what I'm saying? And he averaged, like, I think over like the last few months of the season, he was top 15, top 20 in assists. And that's tough. That's a lot of talent right there. You got Christian Wood, you got KJ, you got Jayshon. So I see those guys developing, and then we have a lot of draft picks. They're gonna have some cap room because of the James Harden trade. They honestly have a lot of ways to improve the roster. So I'll give it more of like a 6 or a 7. Like, I think it'd be pretty hard for them, unless they just didn't do anything. It'd be pretty hard for them not to make some improvements.
I'm going to be honest. All right. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. And I'm not going to, there are people out there that will say, Mike, you're so damn negative when it comes to the Rockets sometimes, because I should be. Like, my confidence level is a 2 in this front office. I have zero confidence in this front office, because I just don't. Like, I go off of what is in front of me with what they've done, right? I don't look at what Jayshon Tate could be. Is Jayshon Tate a great find? Absolutely. Will he turn into a player? You know, a stud, all-star level player? No. I think he's going to get better, though. I think Kevin Porter Jr. is a great find. I think KJ Martin is a great find. But this team just won 16 games in a regular season. And we're not throwing any parades for this team. You know what I mean? Like, show me that you're willing to spend money. Show me that you're willing to make those moves to make your team a contender, and I'll change it. But my confidence level is a 2.
You know, I mean, it's a fair point, because like I said, like, if you hope too much, and then we just, because like we all know what this team needs, and we all know, like, whatever pick we get, if we get a decent pick, who to take. It's just if they know, well, not if they know, but if they're going to get supported by Tillman in doing that, because no matter who they get in the draft, will change, and whatever they get in the off season, because every player is different in that draft, and Houston need certain parts in the team, and if we know how to do that, they know how to do that, you hope, and I don't have the utmost confidence that Tillman is going to help that, and that's why I was in the middle, because it's worrying, but there's a team there that can be really successful, and I don't want him to waste it.
I hope, and we're going to finish up the fan forum here. Tobias, Jake, thank y'all so much. Tobias, it was a pleasure having you on, my man. You come on anytime we do a show.
Yeah, nice to meet you guys for sure.
Absolutely. Jake,
you too, Tobias.
The Thunder from down under, over yonder, across the pond. Enjoy the rest of your day. I have no idea what time of the day it is there. But thank you, as always, for joining the Dream Take. The GOAT.
Thank you, Michael. It's always good to be here.
Absolutely. Everybody, this has been another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes, The Dream Take podcast. Make sure to check out The Dream Shake on Facebook for all things Houston Rockets all of the time. Make sure to check out The Dream Shake on Twitter at Dream Shake SBN. Make sure to check out The Dream Take on Twitter as well for all things Houston Rockets at The Dream Take. You can follow me personally on Twitter at BSW_MB. Thank you so much to all of our listeners here on Locker Room. Jake, Tobias, Devin, Mary Elizabeth, you guys are the greatest. We will be back with you sometime very soon, so make sure to check out our Twitter for all of our latest updates and on Facebook. Until next time, you crazy Rockets fans, good.